Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. On Money FM 89.3, The Washington Report with Nirmal Ghosh, U.S. Bureau Chief with the Straits Times.
Money FM 89.3, you join us in the breakfast huddle. You're here with Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank. Now, you know, it wasn't a slow news week over in the U.S. and it doesn't propose to be.
Yeah, last week, U.S. President Donald Trump was impeached for a second time after being charged with incitement of insurrection over violent rioters who stormed Congress, leaving a total of five people dead.
And with just days to go until President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration, all U.S. states are on high alert for any potential unrest.
So what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. right now, barriers being erected, streets closed, thousands of police and National Guardsmen deployed, and there have also been a couple of arrests as well.
Yeah, let's just run you through a few of them. A man from Virginia trying to pass through a Capitol Police checkpoint. He was carrying fake inaugural credentials, a loaded handgun, and more than 500 rounds of ammunition.
Yeah, a woman was also charged after she impersonated a law enforcement officer, and another man arrested for carrying a gun with unregistered ammunition.
Meanwhile, the incoming administration has been gearing up to take power and inheriting the health crisis, with Joe Biden announcing his $1.9 trillion economic rescue package proposal.
And we saw over the weekend Mr. Biden revealing plans for his first days in office, which involves undoing a lot of President Trump's policies. Let's get a breakdown with Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. Nirmal, good morning. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, all U.S. states, Nirmal, are on alert for possible violent protests ahead of President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. So just give us a sense of what it's like in D.C. Pro-Trump and far-right online networks, they've all called for armed demonstrations. Have they come to fruition?
Hi there, good morning. Well, a large chunk of downtown D.C., basically the entire National Mall area, which includes the Lincoln Memorial, the Capitol, the White House, that's all been closed. You can't get anywhere near it. That area and several blocks around it is what they call the red zone, where you can't enter. And it is protected by concrete barriers and tall chain link fences. And, of course, armed National Guard troops inside, along with more barriers like military trucks. Then outside that, you have the green zone, which is basically a high security zone, like a belt around the red zone. That's also several blocks. And in that zone, car parks, all the car garages have been emptied. You can't park a car there. There are National Guard troops who check cars when you're driving through. The atmosphere is rather grim and ominous. It is unprecedented to have this entire area barricaded and caged in, and armed troops all over the place. So it's an eerie feeling, and also kind of ironic, because to those who keep track of these things, it reminds one of places one reads about, like Baghdad or Kabul. So it is a strange sight, and people in D.C. are unsettled. January 6th changed everything. It woke everyone up to the real danger of the political divide, and people are jumpy. The threat of protests, several protests are scheduled. Some of them will see armed protesters in several cities across the city. But so far, it has been quiet, certainly in D.C., and it's still a little early in other cities. So it's hard to tell at the moment.
It's almost like a state of emergency. Well, Nirmal, according to a memo from incoming Chief of Staff Ron Klain, President-elect Joe Biden plans to reverse key Trump policies on his first day in office, including rejoining the Paris Climate Accord and, of course, ending the travel ban on predominantly Muslim countries through executive orders. Now, how likely is he going to be able to get this done on day one? I mean, what else does President-elect Biden plan to achieve in his first couple of days in office?
Yes, he will issue a bunch of these orders on day one. One of them will be a mask mandate, requiring masks to be worn on federal property and also for interstate travel. Over the subsequent 10 days, there will be other orders as well, extending a pause on student loan payments, helping those on the verge of eviction because of the pandemic. Some of it will require Congress to act. There's a $1.9 trillion virus relief bill that will have to go through Congress. Joe Biden is also going to propose comprehensive immigration reform, which will include apparently an 8-year path to citizenship for millions of immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. There will be a faster track for Dreamers, that is the people who were children when their parents came to the States as illegal immigrants. The Trump administration had stalled that program. That will be revived. And he will also, this week itself, sign orders aimed at reopening schools and businesses and expanding virus testing and more economic relief. Then later, criminal justice reform, climate change, and also a directive to the Department of Homeland Security to speed up on reuniting families separated at the U.S.-Mexico border, which was under the hardline Trump policy. Some of this may be challenged in court, but just as Donald Trump's orders were, but Klain said they don't anticipate too much of that.
In other issues he has to deal with, Biden has picked veterans of the Iran nuclear talks and diplomacy during Ukraine's democratic uprising for two senior State Department posts. He's also unveiled his science team, and for the first time in history, a presidential science advisor will be elevated to a cabinet rank. So tell us a bit more about all of these choices.
Yes, so he named Wendy Sherman to be Deputy Secretary of State. This is a good choice because she negotiated the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA. Donald Trump pulled America out of that deal. He thought it was a terrible deal. And he put sanctions back on Iran and, of course, had the Iran General Qasem Soleimani killed. And the two countries almost came to war. Meanwhile, though, Iranian people are hurting from sanctions, but the country is actually closer to developing a nuclear weapon. So something has to happen to change the game there, and the U.S. is the key, and she knows the history. And he named Victoria Nuland, a retired diplomat who's been a supporter of the uprising that pushed Ukraine's pro-Moscow president Viktor Yanukovych from power in 2014. Ukraine has outsized importance because it is a battleground for Russian and Western European and American influence. If you recall, Donald Trump's first impeachment was over a phone call with Ukraine's president. Joe Biden's name is also wrapped up in all of this, so it will need a seasoned hand at the State Department. The reaction is positive, mainly because these two are very experienced people. On the science front, it's also a strong signal that the scientific advisor to the president is elevated to cabinet status for the first time. And that scientific advisor is Dr. Eric Lander, a geneticist who, among other things, was the leader of the Human Genome Project and is president and founding director of the Broad Institute at MIT and Harvard. Very respected. The elevation to cabinet level, though, is probably the most significant part of this.
Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh on the line with us. Nirmal, if you don't mind, I want to get back to the January 6th riots. What we understand on the back of that is more than 90 of the violent protesters who stormed the Capitol on that day have been arrested. The FBI has identified more than 275 suspects. This really is just out of curiosity. I mean, what do you know in terms of how social media or the part that social media is playing in this? And is there any chance facial recognition software is helping the FBI?
Tremendously. The database of faces is huge. One company the other day said they alone had over 3 billion faces scraped from the internet, which means getting all the faces out there. And we have at the same time significant advances in AI, artificial intelligence, and computers in this case are better than humans and, of course, super fast. There is a lot of video on this incident and high-quality images. And also when they identify someone, they then look at that person's circle. And many people were posting stuff on the internet across dozens of platforms, making it even easier. So, yes, facial recognition tech is a very significant factor and, in fact, probably the first time it has been applied in a massive event like this.
Wow, it's really quite something. Okay, Nirmal, according to people familiar with the matter, President Trump is finding it difficult to get lawyers to defend him in the upcoming impeachment trial. The ones who did it the previous time have said no. So given that he's accused of incitement of insurrection, it must be quite a surprise. Why aren't they interested in jumping in on this?
It's not surprising because top attorneys would consider reputational risk. Emotions are very high and a lot of the fallout has been on Republicans. Companies and donors have been turned off. An attorney would have to weigh all that against the obvious star status in right-wing conservative circles in Donald Trump's world. But the future of Donald Trump himself is also uncertain. I mean, will the party purge him? So a lot of attorneys would not want to get entangled and brought down in all of that.
All right. We've been speaking with Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. Nirmal, as always, thanks for a lot for your time. We'll catch up with you again next week.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.